Paradise, how are you doing? My name's John Weir, and I'm happy to be joining you tonight. Happy Tuesday, everybody. I'm going to start off with some really silly, funny news. And it's only silly and funny because nobody died. But here's the silly, funny news. A man shot a roommate in Louisville, Kentucky, for eating his last Hot Pocket. The Louisville Metro Police Department arrested 64-year-old Clifton Williams on Sunday after they said he shot his roommate following an argument in the Wyandotte neighborhood. Police said that Williams' roommate had eaten the last Hot Pocket, so he started throwing tiles at him. Like that, he just had random tiles lying around the place. Arrest slips say that the roommate tried to leave, but Williams went inside to get a gun. The man was then shot in the buttocks, the buttocks, as my friend Forrest would say, as he was trying to leave. The victim traveled a few blocks to get help and was taken to a hospital to be treated for non-life-threatening injuries. Williams is being charged with assault, has been ordered not to have contact with the victim, and his bond was set at $7,500. And I'll be honest with you, the guy has the most, that's right, I did it, and I'll do it again. Look on his face in his mugshot. It's just like, what do you got? Look, I warned him. I warned him. If you take my Hot Pocket, it'll be your ass. And I proved it by shooting him in the air. Now, you know, this might be the best anti-gun argument out there. This might be the best argument against gun control. Because if we ban guns, then we wouldn't have stories like this. Roommates shooting each other in the butts over Hot Pockets. You know, and he warned the guy. He warned him. He's like, if you see, I'm going to shoot. I'll show you a Hot Pocket. I'll give you a new one. Now, you might be asking the question, and it makes sense to ask this question. Did I, a talk show host on a well-respected, before I got here anyway, news talk station in a top 20 market, top 15 market, did I Google news search for Hot Pockets just because I'm having a tough day and I wanted to hear the greatest stand-up routine of all time? You're damn right I did! You damn right I did.
A little slow tonight. I had a Hot Pocket for dinner.
And I'll do it again.
Good to see I'm not the only white trash here. I buy the Hot Pockets. I go in grocery stores. I'm like, oh, I'll get these. I've never eaten a Hot Pocket and then afterwards been, I'm glad I ate that. I'm always like, I'm going to die. I paid for that. Did I eat it or rub it on my face? My back hurts. Oh. I was looking at a box of Hot Pockets. They have a warning printed on the side. It said, warning, you just bought Hot Pockets. Hope you're drunk or heading home to a trailer. You hillbilly, enjoy the next NASCAR event.
That's right. That's right. That's Jim Gaffigan in the best comedy routine of all time. Hot Pockets. Everybody can enjoy that. So this next story I'm a little bit reluctant to get into because when I saw it, I went, oh, my hometown of Belleville, Illinois is in the news. That's awesome. What's it in the news for? Well,
Ravi, the Attorney General's report offers up narratives from dozens of men and women abused by Catholic priests in the name of God.
Oh, God.
Clergymen quoted by survivors as actually having told them that they were serving God by allowing the abuse to happen and that God would be angry if they ever spoke of it. Tonight, it is the state's top law enforcement officer doing the talking.
So you heard it was in the top of the hour news on CBS. that the Attorney General in Illinois, Kwame Rawls' report on Catholic clergy child sex abuse in Illinois is 696 pages long. You know, if he had just used a wider font, maybe it would have gotten to over 700. It was unveiled at a downtown Chicago briefing with reporters. The report focused on decades of old and new abuse cases in the state's six dioceses. Those dioceses being Chicago, Springfield, Rockford, Peoria, Joliet, and Jonathan Weir's hometown of Belleville, Illinois. It doesn't say that in the story, but it might as well. Nearly 2,000 survivors of Catholic Church sexual abuse in Illinois were documented by state investigators. According to the Attorney General, nearly every survivor exhibited some form of mental health challenge in the years after the abuse, they determined. It's absolutely sickening, and the church has already responded to this and said, look, you know, we've been forthcoming with all of the, all the priests and all the accusations. We've told you everything we knew. And it's like, well, if you did, then why did we have to investigate? Why did they have to spend money investigating it? If you were so forthcoming about it, why don't we trust you? Oh, you know why we don't trust you? Because for years, you allowed priests to rape children. And in response to that, you just moved them from one diocese to the other. In fact, in my hometown of Belleville, Illinois, one priest who was known as a pederast was moved to a church next to a grade school. Yeah. I take this a little personally. And Mom, you're probably listening, so you can correct me if I'm wrong about this, but I went to Catholic school in Belleville, Illinois. I went to Cathedral grade school from kindergarten to third grade. My brother and sister also went. Older brother and sister also went. We really liked the school. All of our friends went there. And you know why? Because, to be honest with you, the schools in my hometown, the public schools, kind of sucked. But Cathedral was a good school. Then, out of nowhere, in 1993, all of a sudden, we were taken out of the school and went to public schools because my parents told me, which is probably a better explanation than actually telling me what happened, that they had raised tuition at the school. So we had to go to public school. Again, I'm pretty sure it was because that's when the story originally broke, and my parents, being responsible, took us out of the school and didn't want to tell me in the third grade. It's because a bunch of priests have been accused of raping children, because then that would raise a lot of questions for me, like, what is rape and what would the priests do this? But I revere the priests. The priests are supposed to be awesome. I wanted to be a priest. I've always had this thought in my head, and I don't know if I've ever really been comfortable expressing it, but I'm going to say it. My parents took me out of that school. I found out later, not much later, but, you know, a little bit later, that there was this whole scandal involving the Catholic Church, involving the diocese I'm from, Belleville, Illinois. And all I can think is that was public information. That was news. And yet, I had friends in my neighborhood whose parents continued to send them to that church and continued to send them to that school, more importantly. Were those parents irresponsible, or did they think, oh, well, it's done. It's over. I mean, they got caught. Could only be one priest. And granted, they moved them around and didn't tell anybody and allowed them to continue raping children. But, I mean, They probably told him, you better not do that again. I don't know. It's a horrifying story. And what I see people saying over and over again, and almost like trying to make this connection, like it's something about Catholicism, and it's not. But I see people making this connection. They're like, oh, those Catholic priests, they love to molest children. Like, as if all of them are. It's obviously not all of them. Otherwise, this would be even more horrifying. It was a select few. And the problem is that the few who were doing it were enabled by the church. They just were. There's nothing really that brilliant about making the connection between Catholic priests and molestation. It's nothing to do with the religion necessarily. It's that these were priests who worked directly with kids and worked directly with God. You saw, heard in the report that opened this, that they told them, God is watching you. You cannot tell on me. These guys, in the eyes of these children, have a walkie-talkie directly to the Lord. And they abuse that notion to sexually assault children. Having that kind of power is attractive to horrible people. So it's not like becoming a priest makes you a pedophile. That's insane. It's that that type of occupation with that kind of power and privilege might attract horrible people. And this is why, bringing this back to a local issue, this is why I was so incensed when there was so much pushback against mandatory reporting for the clergy in the state of Washington. Where the legislature was trying to pass a bill making it so that if you were a priest and somebody came to you at confession and said, hey, you know, I've sexually molested my kid, what is that, three rosaries? That they would have to report it. And the priests were like, well, we'll do that, but without the confession thing. We're not doing the confession thing. And the legislature's like, well, no. It has to be in there, because that's when people would admit to it. You have to do that. And they're like, no, we're not doing that. It's important for priests to be mandatory reporters, because then they can't weasel out and they can't cover up. It's not to tell on people in confession, but to tell on people in confession and, importantly, their fellow priests. That's why it was important. And that's why I was so incensed about it. And it's amazing and staggering to me that in 2023, there was the Catholic Church in Washington having the audacity to say, no, this violates the sanctity of God and Lord and everything like that. Meanwhile, dozens of other states were fine with it. Dozens of other states passed it. I don't know what's going on anymore. I don't know. You know what I'm going to do? Earlier, we were talking about the guy who shot the other guy over the Hot Pocket. Yeah, we'll go back. We'll loop back to have fun. I get exhausted with anger. I don't know. Maybe this is something that is inhibiting me as a talk show host in some ways, is that I get really angry about things, and then after like 5 minutes of seething with anger, I go, all right, I don't want to be angry the rest of the night. I like to have fun on air. Maybe that's a mistake, but I would like to have fun, and I would like you guys to help me. So text in at 888-973-5476, 888-973-KIRO. We're talking about the roommate who shot his other roommate in the buttocks for stealing the last Hot Pocket, right? Text in, what's the most annoying thing a roommate or housemate has ever done, in your opinion? You have an annoying roommate or housemate that just did something that just drove you over the edge. What exactly was it? Text it in right now. 888-973-CHIRO. Oh, by the way, I don't know if I should out her, but my mom is texting me about the priest conversation. She said, not every priest is like that. Well, Mom, I did say that not every priest is like that. It was a select few who were degenerate scumbags that were enabled, unfortunately, overall by the church. And she said, but some were, and it shouldn't have been covered up because there was a priest shortage. Yeah, that was, she's right. That was the excuse that they used in the Belleville Diocese. It was like, well, we couldn't just get rid of them. We needed extra priests. Where were we going to find men of that caliber? Where were we going to find quality men like that? Well, I don't know. You could probably have gone to the jail and found some drug dealers that probably would have been safer around kids than
True.
The child molesters. You know?
I know a couple. You
probably could have done that. Yeah.
Drug dealers,
yeah.
That is.
Drug dealers. Yeah, not child molesters. Ah, boy. Have you ever had any annoying roommates there, Kevin?
Yeah, I've been the annoying roommate.
You are the annoying roommate. That
I have been. In the past, I have changed my ways, sir. I've done my dishes.
Doesn't shock me, but how were you annoying? By not cleaning up after yourself?
Not anything? Cleaning up, just, you know, constantly clouding up the apartment with, you know, weed.
Smoke. Yeah.
And, you know, just generally being kind of selfish with, you know, I would eat their food, I would drink their soda, and you know, that would often be after I had smoked. So I was just kind of inconsiderate, I could say.
I think I've only had really only lived with one person that wasn't my family member my whole life. I crashed for a little bit at my friend James's house. But for the most part, I was the same way, except for without the weed smoke, maybe a little bit more with drinking, with my wife before we were married and we lived together. Because, you know, that cow and the milk, delicious. Point is, I was a total slob. I didn't clean up after myself. I literally had a mattress that I did not. It wasn't so much that I didn't make my bed in the morning. You have to understand this. I would literally sleep on like a top swirl of sheets and blankets. Like there was no rhyme or reason to it. I slept on a bare mattress.
Nice.
Even though I had sheets. Yeah. Yeah. Until my wife, maybe, she really is like, and I guess I am the example of the woman that is like, I can change him. I can make him better. Now, granted, it wasn't like I was violent or abusive or something like that, and she thought she could change me because I was a bad boy riding my motorcycle. It was more like, I can change him. I can make sure that he doesn't stay up all night watching Adult Swim. I can get my tenterhooks into him and make sure that he isn't drinking scotch and chasing it with Dr. Pepper.
You know, Jonathan, when you said you slept on bare mattress, my first thought was, dudes rock!
No, it was a mattress made out of bears, actually.
Nice.
All right, text us at 888-973-CHIRO, 888-973, the letters K-I-R-O. What's the most annoying thing a roommate's ever done to you? Come back with those things. Actually, we'll hit them real quick, and then we'll get to Kevin's news, music news. There's a lot coming up on the show. It's Car Nights. Cairo Nights. How you doing, everybody? It's me, Jonathan Weir. Happy to join you tonight. Real quick, I asked you guys to text in at 888-973-CHIRO, 888-973-5476. What's the most annoying thing your roommate did? And I'm going to read this off, and I just want you to know that I got 7 texts from the same person about one roommate. And here it is. He used to wipe his butt with random stuff from around the house, like while he was going to the bathroom, or just generally. He used to burn styrofoam in the backyard. Actually, I had a friend who used to mix gasoline and styrofoam, and he used to burn things with it. It was actually kind of cool. His girlfriend left him, so he took our microwave, which she bought, out to the backyard and blew it up with all of her pictures in it. He would also burst into the bathroom and take pictures of us on the toilet. We were all men, so we didn't think it was anything but annoying. And then we found out he was posting them online to his MySpace page. When we kicked him out, he kept sneaking in. We changed the locks, and we woke up one morning to him asleep in the doggy door. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. All right, Kevin, it is time for your music news. What you got for us tonight, buddy?
I got nothing. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, so Stevie Nicks actually went up on stage with Taylor Swift, and she thanked Taylor Swift for writing a song that helped her get through the passing of Christine McVie from Fleetwood Mac. And yeah, so it was like an epic moment, you know. Stevie Nicks on stage with Taylor Swift, kind of the past and the present of you know, female incredible musicians. And the song was "You're on Your Own, Kid," because it said because it says it's how she felt after losing Christine McVie. So
that's beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. I thought that was a cool moment. And, you know, I was curious about, you know, it's kind of an emo topic, but what's a song that's helped you through a hard time? And this is something we should definitely send out to the texters, because I feel like there's probably, I mean, we've all gone through hard times in our lives, whether it's, you know, our parents passing away, you know, a loved one passing away, going through sickness or, you know, rough times, you know, even an animal passing away. What's a song that's got you through it?
888-973-CHIRO, 888-973, then the letters K-I-R-O. Text us what song helped you through some difficult times. First of all, before we start naming our own and getting from them from the text line, I would like to discuss the philosophical implications of this, or I guess the stylistic implications of this. Now, what kind of song helps you get through a bad time? Because for some people, that could be like "Walking on Sunshine" by Katrina and the Waves, right? It's just like, oh, it picked me up when I really needed it. But for me, as soon as you asked this question, all the songs I could think of were from other people who were also singing about going through bad times. You know?
Absolutely.
So I guess it's a misery loves company type of thing. I guess it's a, hey, somebody else out there feels the same way I feel about the world right now, and that makes me feel less lonely. That's empowering in that respect. Because I don't know. I don't think it's just me, but when I'm down and I'm going through some stuff, which happens far too often in my life, I like to hear from other people going through some stuff too. And I don't like to hear upbeat music. It's the last thing I want to hear. Is, oh, just put on some music and dance. No, go to hell. I'm not doing that. I'm not a dancer. I'm a moaner and a complainer.
Couldn't tell.
So, yeah, right. Unfortunately, a lot of Death Cab for Cutie songs popped into my head.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because you said emo. There's a great song by them called What Sarah Said. And it has the line, love is watching someone die. And that song, line from that song has popped into my head. Well, it popped into my head far too recently, but it's something that is just a very short but insanely powerful sentiment that is what it is. The whole song, by the way, is about being in a hospital while somebody he loves is dying, and then the line is, love is watching someone die. But I'm going to, you know what, I'm going to play this, and I've mentioned this song before. It's by a guy who a lot of you probably heard of. He's an amazingly prolific musician and comedian. So it's weird that I would pick a comedian for this when I said I don't like upbeat songs. The song isn't upbeat. It's a song called That Funny Feeling by Bo Burnham. And it's just him listing off like pop culture stuff that kind of just makes you feel a little bit, I don't know, off. Just like you have like these things and it just makes you feel out of sorts when you hear about them. And I feel like that so often when we're talking not just about pop culture, but the news in general. I feel like this song is basically how I feel all the time on air.
The live action Lion King, the Pepsi halftime show. 20,000 years of this, seven more to go. Carpool karaoke, Steve Aoki, Logan Paul. A gift shop at the gun range, a mass shooting at the mall. There it is again, that funny feeling. That funny feeling. There
yeah, that's one for me, because it's sometimes it's nice to put that on and be like, okay, thank God I'm not the only one who thinks this is all insane and all spiraling out of control. And that's what I think why I gravitate towards stand-up comedy for a lot of my entertainment, too, is because that's what stand-up comedians do, is they're just, you know, synthesizing the world and kind of processing it in a funny way, but going like, isn't this screwed up? Holy cow! So what's one for you, Kevin?
Yeah, I was thinking about that. You know, I asked the question and I was curious and I was thinking to myself, I know he's going to ask me this. So what's one that really, you know, has gotten me through? And there's a band called Waxwing from here in Seattle. They broke up and the singer songwriter, the original, you know, founder of the band is a guy named Rocky Vadalato. And he was in the band with his brother, Cody Vadalato, but he's been he makes solo music now, and just last year one of his children passed away. He wrote an album about that, and this is not from that record, but man, his music hits me so hard. This is a song called White Daisy Passing from the record Makers. Again, it's Rocky Vadalato. He's a Seattle musician. Great album, incredible
voice.
Got
a very Elliott Smith.
He does.
Very Elliott Smith vibe to him.
Honestly, I love Elliott Smith, but it's hard for me to listen to Elliott Smith because it's really, I mean, if you know the ending of Elliott Smith's life, he did commit suicide, and a lot of his music is very dark and very, so it's like he was telling the truth with his music, right? It's very hard for me to listen to because it's incredible music, but it's just very morose. It's very morose. It brings me to kind of a dark place.
You could say the same thing about Kurt Cobain or Chris Cornell, but if you've ever listened to Elliott Smith, his music was so, so deeply personal that you're right. It's almost impossible to separate it from the tragic ending of his life, and especially I don't want to talk about it because it is upsetting, but it was it's not just that he killed himself, it was a really, really horrifying way to go. Is this the Taylor Swift song?
Yep, this is the one.
That's all right, we're getting some suggestions. We're getting some suggestions from the text line, so I'm gonna, when we come back, we're gonna play some songs that you guys say pick you up when you're down. 888-973-CHIRO, 888-973-5476 if you would like to send us your songs that you play when you're a bit down. I want to play some that are upbeat, actually, because I feel like our sadness is dominating this segment a little bit too much.
Let's just soak in our morose.
We'll do that coming up next on CHIRO Nights. Literally a song about Elliot Smith's mom singing at a karaoke bar. That's the kind of guy he was. Singing a mean-spirited song in his stepdad's face. It's Karadites. We were talking about songs that get you through a tough time. And we would like to hear yours, 888-973-KIRO. Here's some that we got. And I wanted to play these. I focused on the upbeat ones because we went a little bit too sad in the last segment. So here we go. I'm sorry. Some people hate this song. I don't hate it. I love this song. Also, Jonathan, one of the most fun songs to play live. Yes.
I got a question for you. So I know this is a little off topic, but I have to bring it up since you brought Chumbawamba. Have you ever gone on a Chumbawamba deep dive and listened to their early stuff? They were an anarchist, like, crust punk band. And then they just randomly put out that single. It was kind of their, like, Trojan horse to get into mainstream media, and then they were just spreading anarchist literature around. It was crazy.
Yeah, they were great, and they literally, in every interview, were encouraging people to steal their album.
Yep. And Rosie O'Donnell was like, I'm a little bit scared of you.
But they were great. Here's another one from the text line, Pacific Northwest Band. A lot of people have a problem with this song.
Why?
Well, I'll tell you in a second. We'll anyway. Because for a lot of people who I know who were indie dorks and the kind of people who bought the t-shirt to prove that they were there at their first show and heard of them first and all that stuff.
They were there first, yeah.
They were there first, yeah. They hated that Modest Mouse started going in a direction where they were more palatable and mainstream in that song.
And then Johnny Marr joined the band.
I mean,
that was weird.
See, I don't ever hold production values against bands. Maybe that makes me weird. But having made a bunch of crappy punk music and a bunch of lo-fi indie stuff, I never once, while I was making it, was like, this is how I want it to sound. I was always like, I wish we could make this sound good. God, I wish we could make this sound good. But we can't because we don't have the money or the talent or the time. And finally, somebody said this one. It's a beautiful pick. I see trees of green. Oh, yes. Red roses too. I see them blue. Sing it, Yoda. For me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The only problem I have with that song, and it's not a problem with the song at all, it's the usage of the song. I'm so tired of that song being used ironically in every movie. It's always used to, like, show the world blowing up or nuclear, you know, bombs being there. Or at the end of Sid and Nancy, I think, he does a cover of it, or there's a Ramones cover of it or something.
Wasn't it My Way? No, you're right. You're
no,
right.
It was My Wonderful. Way. You're right. It was My Way. But the Ramones had, what was it? What was it from where there was a Ramones cover of What a Wonderful World? Maybe it was the Howard Stern movie. I don't remember. But it's always, like, used ironically in Madagascar. Like, they're going through the wilderness, and, like, things are picking off their little friends left and right, and that
song's playing.
It's like, come on.
Don't Madagascar spoil me.
20 years old, man. Get with the times.
Still.
Get with the times. So, yeah, those were all good picks. Good job, guys. I like that. Some people said Elliot Smith, Needle in the Hay. Yeah, again, guys. Looking for happy things. Bill Withers, Lean on Me, somebody said. That's a good one. Bill Withers just in general. Because you could do Lean on Me, but I think a lot of people go in the other direction if they want the Misery Loves Company, Ain't No Sunshine. It's one of the saddest, most soulful songs ever written or produced or made.
Stevie Wonder, Songs in the Key of Life, just the whole album.
The whole album? That's good. Yeah. That's your pickup one?
Yeah.
Somebody said Rise Against, Survive.
Nice. Good band.
Yeah. I don't know. I would like to say Beatles songs, but the Beatles, the only problem with Beatles songs is like they're too short.
That's true.
Like Hey Jude's long, but like anytime I love the Beatles so much. I love the Beatles so much, but like I can't really get a full emotion off of too many of their songs except for in their later catalog. Like you could say Yesterday, but it's only 2 minutes long.
This is a song that brings my spirits up, man. When the riff comes in, this song just makes me feel it all, man. It's a good one. Takes a while for the riff to come in, though.
Okay, yeah. So should I wait or...
No, just keep talking.
Okay, just keep talking. Okay. Next up, Gyronites, we're going to do the Doom Scroll. And talk about this. What's better for a married couple? Having joint or separate checking accounts? The answer might surprise you. And it's next on Gyronites.